Where's that work show?
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm about to reveal the tales of your life. So many secrets are locked inside your mind, but you're all equal in life, equal in love.
I know you're gonna dig this.
All right, let's go. Hey, yo, this is John from Hip Talk Radio. You're listening to Paranormal Talk with my homegirl, Annette Jones. Make sure you keep it locked for tarot card reading. A lot of interesting stories going on here. Paranormal Talk, Annette Jones. One love.
She was a fast machine. She cut the wood and clean. She was a fast damn woman that I ever seen. She had a thankless eyes telling me no lies. Knocking me out with those American thighs.
Good evening, everybody. It's October 6th, and this is Paranormal Talk. I'm your host, Annette Jones, and lucky us, it's to the first Tuesday of the month, so we have pet psychic Tim Link with us. Hi, Tim.
Sorry, Annette.
There you are.
Yeah, modern technology. You know, I used to sell this stuff for a living. That's probably why I don't do it anymore.
Could be. You never know.
Never know. But I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good, as always.
That's right. You survived the first harvest moon that we had, the full moon Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. I'm always good during the full moon.
It
seems to be my time to shine, to forgive the pun. But, yeah, I'm always good during a full moon.
There you go. Well, we were extra cautious because we know that, during full moons, I think you and I have talked about it, that's when not only does interesting things happen for humans, you know, we get into challenges sometimes trauma within that full moon period, but our animals as well, you know, they get out and they get a little bit more wanting to explore a little bit more of their countryside and explore different things. And, of course, the moon makes it brighter, so they're out scavenging around a little bit more. So,
right.
Unfortunately, I've seen a lot more. I was out and about late that night, didn't have any issues myself, but unfortunately I saw a few of our furry friends not survive our roadway. So it's one of those things where, yeah, just got to be cautious of that, as always, when you're out and about at nighttime, especially those full moons. They seem to graze a lot longer, and they tend to expand their territories and boundaries a little bit further than they usually do. And so you just got to put a little extra caution out there. Put out your snow plow, as I call it, your visual snow plow, to push everything out of your path's way, so there's no harm that comes your way or your way or the way of the animals as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so as far as animal talking, how you been doing? What you been up to lately? What's new and different?
Oh, well, it's always been very busy talking to people about their animals, going to a lot of different clubs and organizations. As a matter of fact, I just got back this evening from the King Charles Spaniel Club here in the Atlanta or Tucker, Georgia area, and got to talk about all those beautiful King Charles puppies. And
The King Charles Spaniels, those are the ones with the great big huge eyes, right?
Big old dove eyes, big puppy dog eyes, and brown. Most of them, they're usually brown and white with floppy ears, but they can be four different colors. I found out tonight there's four different colors. So these folks know their King Charles puppies very well, but a beautiful breed, very intelligent as always, and one of those things that you have to be careful of with those eyes, because they can obviously be prone to some issues, some drainage and some allergy issues there. And with the floppy ears, you know, it's a lot like our Cocker Spaniels and other animals that have the floppy ears. We've got to keep an eye on those, do the old sniffy check every once in a while, put your nose in there, make sure it smells okay. If it smells pungent, then you know you got to clean it out. And it's a good idea if you have a floppy-eared dog or animal to, to rinse those, get some solution and clean those out at least once a month to keep it fresh and keep those infections out. But so we had a good.
My sister has a dog that's he's a half Cocker Spaniel and half Welsh Springer Spaniel, He's the cutest thing, and he's so fat. He looks like a little lamb. But she has to keep an eye on his ears like that, too. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it happens a lot. You know, the moisture builds up in the inside of those ears when they doesn't get enough oxygen through there, enough air through there. So you got to keep an eye on those things. But so we had a great time with that group today and tonight, and then this weekend we're off actually starting Thursday, heading up to Nashville, Tennessee. So if we got anybody listening in the Nashville area, come by and see us. We're going to be at the Southern Book Festival, which is right in the heart of downtown Nashville, right there on the square. And all kinds of wonderful authors and entertainers and artists going to be there for Friday through Sunday. And I'll be on the main stage at the main library stage Sunday the 11th from 1 to 2 o'clock, talking about my favorite topic, which is my book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to be there for an hour talking about what I do as a communicator and the book itself and how that came about, and then we're going to do some question and answer sessions, and then we'll follow that up with a nice little book signing. So if you're in the Nashville area, definitely pop in and see us. It'll be a great weekend. There's some wonderful, wonderful authors. There's a huge event, so I'm really privileged to be invited up there to talk to everybody.
Makes me wish I still lived in Memphis.
That's right down the road. Exactly. So we have, so there's a lot going on. The best way is always to find out about what's going on with me and the book Wagging Tails and to sign up for consultations is to go on the website, check it out, which is wagging-tails.com, wagging-tales.com, and you can sign up to our wonderful free monthly e-newsletter that comes out the first of every month. And that'll keep you abreast of what's going on as well. And in addition, it includes all those wonderful, helpful tips and hints and things that we provide you each and every month. And take a look at that. We've got some of the back issues on the website as well. So you can check it out and see what that's all about.
Oh, excellent. In fact, there's something that I wanted to talk about that was in your newsletter this month. Why don't you tell people about the Happy Act and what that is?
This is a very interesting thing that we have sort of stumbled across, which we try to keep abreast of all the activities going on, all the legislation that's going on to help our animals out, and whether it's being anti-dog fighting or anti-chaining laws, whether it be the fights against puppy mills, etc. But this one was really interesting because I had no idea that it was happening. And what it has to deal with is giving back to you, having a tax-type write-off for your pet bills, for the things that you go through to take care of our wonderful furry friends. As everybody can appreciate that has pets and has animals out there, it can be a very expensive proposition to have a pet. We love them and we'll do everything we can for them, but we're seeing, especially in today's economy, we're seeing a lot more issues with people trying to, being forced to have to do a little bit less for their pets or waiting a little bit longer before they take their pets into the veterinarian to get them checked out. So there is a there's an act that's being brought up, which is called the Happy Act. It's H.R. 3501. So approach your congressmen and senators about H.R. 3501, which is called the Happy Act. It's being sponsored by Michigan's Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. So he introduced the bill, which is a bill that will allow you to deduct up to $3,500 in your annual taxes for pet care expenses and make this tax deductible right off the top. And so which is very, very nice, especially when you have, two temperamental schnauzers like I do. And and as you know, my schnauzers, we've talked about them quite a bit on the show. And recently, I guess 2 or 3 months ago, one of them developed diabetes at the age of 6 and a half. And his brother, not to be outdone, decided, well, this is kind of interesting. I'll manifest this myself. And so now he's diabetic. So we're not only doing the insulin shots and the syringes and the cost of the insulin to keep up on that, but right now it's in such the early stages that we have to take them in every 3 weeks to get their blood work tested to make sure that everything's okay. Mm-hmm. So they're real troopers about them. We take them to our favorite little store called the Red Bandana Store, which has all kinds of premium treats and foods, et cetera. So after we get our blood work done, we take them to Red Bandana so they can pick out their favorite treat.
Oh,
but
nice.
Very nice for them.
Except they're kind of like, uh-oh. They're getting us treats. What are they going to do to us today?
It's going to get that way. I used to, it sort of reminds me of when I was growing up, my dad would take me to the barber shop to get those burr haircuts, cut down to almost being bald. And I would get a dime afterwards, for being a good boy, I'd get a dime. But, of course, I remember the barber.
That was a lot of money then.
It was a lot of money, man. I'd buy you 10 pieces of candy right there, so it worked out well. But, I can remember.
I tell my daughter that this doesn't have anything to do with that, but I tell my daughter that my allowance when I was like 6-7 years old was a quarter.
Wow.
And I could go to the store and I could get a bag of chips or a candy bar and a Coke and have change left over. And she didn't believe me.
Absolutely. We used to tell them war stories. Where I grew up, right across a big field, there was a couple parking lots and different things, but there was this do-it-yourself car wash. And back in those days, all the pop bottles were refundable, but you couldn't go to a soda machine and get a canned soda or a plastic one like we see now. It's all bottles. And
right.
So people would be there cleaning out their cars and their trucks, and they'd have some empty bottles in the car, so they'd just pitch them. So me and my friend would go over every day and dig through the dumpster and get our collection of about 10 pop bottles, which meant, back then I guess the deposits were like 5 cents each. That's 50 cents split between us. That's 25 pieces of candy. And it's amazing that I have actually teeth in my head right now because that was a dangerous occurrence. But, going back to H.R. 3501, it's going to fight some resistance. There's a lot of anything that congressmen and senators are viewing as a loophole nowadays, and especially with the fair tax laws that some of them are trying to push through, it'll fight some resistance. So the more you can contact your congressmen and senators and try to get this bill at least brought up for consideration, it's H.R. 3501.
Now, when you say pet care expenses that you can deduct, you're talking about not food and stuff like that, but medical care and medication and things like that, right?
Exactly.
Stuff
except
that you
for
have
if it's
to have paperwork to back up.
You will have to have paperwork to back it up, and this would include things like prescription medication. Prescription foods. So foods that you have to get a prescription for, it would cover, which we do. Just another great example. Our dogs, God love them. They have a lot of allergies, food and environmental allergies that we discussed on the show quite a bit, and so they have to have a special food, Hill's Ultra ZD, which boils out all the enzymes out of the proteins so they can eat that. And a bag of that, which will last them about a month, costs $72. So take your shoes off, count your toes, and do the arithmetic. That $3,500 adds up really, really quick.
Yeah,
but it's a
lot of money for food.
It is a lot of money. But, we do have those circumstances when we want to take care of our pets. It's a commitment. It's love for us. They're part of our family. And some animals, even if you go to just, once a year checkups and shots and all that, that can add up to quite a bit of money in itself. And so every little bit helps. So, approach your congressman, write him a note, pull it up on your pull it up on the internet, your local congressman, say, hey, I support the happy tax on H.R. 3501, and we would like for you to consider it as well. So see what they have to say on it. And I think it's a brilliant thing. I'm not a big proponent personally. Mm-hmm. This is just my commentary of a lot of loopholes, but we can't have our animals suffering just because we're running on a little bit of tight times right now. So,
exactly.
Yeah, support that.
Okay, and so let's move on. This is Halloween month.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about a couple of issues concerning your pets, concerning Halloween. Now, when you come home from trick-or-treating and you have your big bags of candy, then...
Somebody seems quite wants to end on the conversation today, that's
yes.
for sure.
He's still got fleas. He's miserable, poor thing. I'll talk to him in a minute.
we'll talk to our buddy Copter, find out what's going on with him. But, yes, it's trick-or-treat time, Halloween time. October 31st is Halloween, of course, and we'll have our trick-or-treating on or around that day in most areas. And, the children will go out and collect all their wonderful candies and bring them back home in their big bags. And, of course, the animals, our pets, want to see what's going on, and they want to be part of the activity, and they smell those smells, and they want to taste a little bit of everything you've got. But we have to be very careful of that, obviously. We don't want to leave sweetened candies out there in the open so they can get a hold of them. Chocolate,
right, because I know chocolate can be very, very toxic to dogs and cats, right?
Very toxic, and if you have a dog or a cat that has, a weakened immune system or has a low tolerance to those type of things and they eat an excessive amount of it, they can get sick, or even worse, they could die from overconsumption of chocolate. Some of the other things that people aren't aware of are allergies and issues that dogs and cats will have with things like nuts, especially particular types of nuts, will cause them issues. And a big one lately is the artificial sweeteners.
Right.
Most things, even if we think that they're pure chocolate or pure candy, they will have those artificial sweeteners. It's a less expensive proposition, or sometimes it's just a natural thing that the manufacturers put in there. And those can be very toxic to your animals. So, I encourage you to go out and have fun. Be careful out there. Have a good time. But when you bring your goodies back home, not only do you need to keep your mommy and daddy away from them because they'll steal all the good stuff,
then
you also need to make sure that you're putting it in a sealed container, putting it up on a shelf, putting it away from your so your pets don't get into them.
And those Snickers are mine.
That's right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll say they're helping you sort through it, but we know what that means.
Uh-huh. All the good stuff disappears, yay.
That's right. It's like, this Snickers wrapper just seems to be open a little bit here. Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get rid of that.
Okay, well, let's talk about Halloween costumes for your pet. I know there's people out there that just absolutely cannot resist, but I'll let you give your thoughts on it in a minute, but here's what I say about that. People, don't do it. Your pets don't really like to play dress-up, even if you think they do. They don't really like it. They just do it and tolerate it because you like it. And if you have to, just take it off of them as soon as possible. That is all.
My thoughts exactly. Well, I've had a chance. This topic has come up quite a bit over the years since I've been doing this, and I honestly have to say I'm sorry for all you adults that like to dress up your little puppies and kitties and horses and lizards and everything else. I've even seen I play Santa Claus for our local rescue organization here, and every year, and I've had everything from ferrets to chickens, and they all come in with these little Santa hats on, and I've never met any that likes
antlers.
It. Exactly. So I've never seen any that likes it, and you do have to be careful with it also. Sometimes there's elastic or cords or things to keep the little hats on, which could cause some distress or soreness in the animals because it's a little too tight or a little bit too constricting. And with some of our animals, if we're not watching it, they could obviously ingest some of those items. So you just want to be careful of those things. Make it an ice. If you have to do it, they'll tolerate it. But make it a very, very short thing. A quick picture, and then you're done. Don't put them in a little elf suit.
Wear that stuff all night.
It's not. Not a good thing. I don't think so.
Although some of them are real cute. There's nothing cuter than a wiener dog dressed up as a wiener dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
With mustard and relish and everything on. There's nothing cuter, but they don't really like it. So Anyway, we'll drop that subject and we'll start talking to some pets. How about that?
That sounds like a good thing.
Okay. Now, if y'all go to the website is www.mytarotdreams.com/pets. You can look at the photos of the animals that Tim is going to speak with tonight. And I think since Copter is already piping up, I'll just let you talk to him first. Now, Copter, for those that don't know, Copter is my dog. And right now he's got fleas, and poor thing is just miserable. So I'm gonna let you talk to Copter first, Tim, and
yeah,
then we'll move on to these other beautiful animals.
Exactly. And I noticed this must picture you actually have Copter in his little dress-up outfit. So
yeah, he doesn't mind it for a little bit. If it's just something that goes under the collar, don't try to put anything on him. On his head, on his body, but you can tuck stuff under the collar and he doesn't have a problem with that. So he's like Lion King in this picture.
There you go. Hey, sounds good. Sounds good. So we talked about, you know, the fleas. I mean, he really does. I mean, that is, I feel some pink spots on him too. Is there some hot spots
mm-hmm.
on him as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we've got to get those under control. So let me ask you, what have you done so far?
Just the flea spray, because we haven't had the money to do anything else, and I already have the flea spray.
Okay. All right. So here's why first of all, we got to get them taken care of in the house. That's the big key, because they'll
right.
get into the carpets and the furniture, and they'll bury themselves, and then they'll breed, and it's just an endless cycle. So we got to get something that will clean out the house. So take Copter out, take all the other animals and people out, and let's get the, you know, treat the household first.
Yeah, that's the plan.
That's the plan. The second thing you're going to have to do is, you know, you live in Texas, so it's still, though it's cooling down a little bit, it's still warm, and it's been very
warm.
Wet, so there's still a lot of critters roaming around. So that's going to stick around for quite a while. I would suggest you treat the yard, but obviously that's going to be a little bit more expensive proposition.
Mm-hmm.
So in lieu of that, there's a couple things you could probably do for Copter. One is I would definitely take a look at doing something that's not the drops, but it's more of a tablet form. We've talked about some products, a wonderful product called Program, which is a chewable tablet he can take once a month.
Okay, can you spell that for me?
Yeah, it's Program, Program. And you can go to my website, wagging-tails.com. There's a useful links site there, and there's some wonderful mail order places you can order it from, places like Dr. Foster's and Smith and other ones. See who has the best price.
I went looking for that stuff last month, and I couldn't find any anywhere in town.
Yeah, you probably won't. It's a hard one to find. It's a little bit it's been around for a little bit longer, so they come up with new generations of types of products, some that treat fleas and ticks and other things. This is purely a flea treatment, but it's very gentle on their system, and the dogs don't mind taking it because it looks like a little liver snap, so it's real, like, you know, chewable, and it's something that they seem to enjoy eating. Think it's a little treat. So it's a wonderful product, but it's something you got to get started on and get started on right away. The other options you have is you can contact, maybe reach out to some of your local veterinarians, or reach out to some of the local shelters, rescue groups. Sometimes they have either access to that through their veterinarians, if they have veterinarians on staff, or if they're a veterinarian's office, or they have ways to find discounted programs for you in order to alleviate some of the distress. So that's a good option. And then another one, you may want to snoop around, maybe contact a holistic vet or someone that does holistic food and treatments in your area. But I've had some clients that have actually introduced garlic, whole, you know, not whole cloves, but ground cloves of garlic into the dog's food regimen. And that eliminates, I guess, through the odors, and, you know, the garlic gets into the sweat glands of the system, and that helps to eliminate the fleas.
Okay.
So, you know, I have not tried it myself, but you may want to just check with your local holistic vet or check online, because that may be another. You may have to take a Tic Tac afterwards, but it may be something that would work for
you. Yeah, he already has pretty bad breath.
Yeah, exactly. So it may be something we have to take a look at. But I tried some of those options because, yeah, this is miserable, and it's getting to the point, I think, that it's not only just driving me crazy, but it's really
He's miserable. He's miserable all the time and crying and whining all the time except when he's asleep. So we've got to do something. I know this much. So,
yeah.
So, but other than the fleas, does he have anything else on his mind?
No, he's just wondering what, you know, we'll have to talk to him a little bit about why, what we're going to do and why it's going to be okay and what he needs to do.
Okay.
He seems to be, I mean, that is really his center focus right now. He's just really, that's really causing him some distress. And we'll have to figure out a way to get that taken care of.
Okay. All right. Well, we do have a caller on the line. If my switchboard will be still and let me pick it up. It keeps moving on me. All right. Now, the caller from the 360 area code, you're on the air.
That's me, but I lost you on my computer here somewhere. But that's okay. I have you on the phone. Hi, Annette. Hi, Tam. This is Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
In the past about Tina and that. And tonight I'm calling. I sent my picture in. Tonight I'm calling on my kitty cat, Bob. Stayed away. I'm on property here, and I had a friend come to the house, and she wasn't really nice to Bob, and so Bob has been, he just stays out on the property and the barn and that, and just his last few months, he's starting to get closer and closer to home, but I was wondering what's up with him.
We don't have his picture posted just yet.
He used to be an inside cat with me here, you know, and now he won't stay in the house. He'll come in the house for a little bit, but he's ready to go back outside. And I just don't know what's wrong with my little Bobby boy. He really shies away from me, and I just want him to know, and I tell him all the time, you know, and I hug him and squeeze him and everything. But I just want him to know that, you know, why he's not staying in the house with me.
Yeah,
and sometimes he goes away for weeks. I know cats do that, you know, but I worry about him.
Right. Now, do you have him, do you have a collar and tag or a chip on him?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm on a couple acres here.
All right, then. Well, you know, there's a couple of different things there. First of all, I always encourage everybody to get collars and tags and chips, just because if he does wander off a little too far and someone else finds him, then they know where to return him to and how to take care of him. So I always think it's a good idea to do that. The second thing is he doesn't seem to think it's any big deal. I don't think he really understands that you would prefer him to be in the house again or be near, you know, be closer and come and visit you more often. So we need to make sure we're telling him, you know, what the situation is and what he needs to do about it and why it's going to, you know, would be a good thing for him. So, you know, Bobby, it's okay to go out and explore everything, but we'd like for you to come and visit with us and be with me more often because this would make me very happy. And so any chance you get with him to give him his affection, I would definitely explain that to him. Because right now, I don't think it's a big deal. He seems to like being out there, even though it's going to get a little cooler here shortly.
Oh, I know. Well, he sleeps underneath the house, too. You know, I got a big two-story house here, so I know he's warm underneath the shed and out in the barn and everything, so I don't worry about him with that. But I just wish that he would come into the house more. So.
Yes. So let's project that out. If you get a chance, when he comes up to you again, explain that to him. But in the meantime, let's start projecting out to him what the situation is, that you'd like for him to come around more often and be closer to you. And if he can do this, this would make you very happy. So we'll project that, and we visualize him and see him coming back more often, more frequently, spending longer periods of time actually coming back into the house. So use that visual technique. Spend some time each day to do that, and he'll pick up on that visualization. And he'll
Yeah, I know he has the real I don't care attitude. He walks around the property like he's an I don't care attitude. But yeah, okay. So as long as there's nothing wrong, I worried that there may have been something wrong with his health or he was just staying away or what, but as long as there's nothing wrong, and I can do that other, and I'll work on that other.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I think he's doing fine. So no worries. Don't worry about him. Worry just brings about bad things anyway. So let's bring positive
things. That's right.
Things
that's right. Yeah. Well, that is great to hear. Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
And you have a great evening.
Okay, you too. Thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you again.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Joyce. Okay, so that was Joyce and Bob, and like I said earlier, we don't have the photo of Bob up yet because she didn't send it before the show. She just now sent it, but I will have that posted after the show so that everybody can see the beautiful Bob. Okay, so let's talk about some of the other photos that are on the website. And again, that is www.mytarotdreams.com/pets. Now, Angela sent in photos of her mammoth donkey named Annie and her German Shepherd dog named Shasta. And she just says that that she's beginning to have some communications with them, and she's a Reiki practitioner as well, just like Tim is. And that she's excited to learn more through Tim. So I'm not sure what she wants to know about the donkey and the doggy, but
okay.
I guess whatever Tim comes up with is what she wants to know.
Well, let's see what they have to say. So we got Annie the donkey, and this is beautiful donkey. I mean, this is perhaps the biggest donkey I've ever seen. I mean,
I know. Mammoth is the right word, huh? Because donkeys are usually, you think, little burrow. They're tiny.
Exactly. And Annie is much, much, much bigger. It's very, very, very brilliant, very fascinating. Good. Likes the routine, likes everything that's going on. She feels a little stiff to me, though. She feels a little sore to me, which, you know, wouldn't be surprising because we're dealing with equine here, and so we had to be cognizant of their things like their hoofs and their knees and their joints and their backs. You know, they're prone to having some issues. So she feels a little achy to me myself. So if you haven't started introducing some herbs and supplements, I'd go ahead and start doing that. Things like glucosamine and chondroitin, MSM, things of this sort into the feed. Do some things. Obviously, use your Reiki every chance you can with Annie to make her feel good. Focus on those chakras that opens up and clears those joints and the back area. So definitely use your Reiki all you can on Annie. Likes everything that's going on. There's another horse looks like another horse there that she's not too fond of. So brown horse. So I'm not sure what the relationship is there, but I see another brown horse around, so you want to be cognizant of that and talk to Annie about what that brown horse is all about. But definitely very cool. But other than that, she's feeling good. Use that Reiki. Make sure the joints are being, get some supplements into Annie's system and make it sure that those joints are being taken care of. Other than that, yeah, everything's good.
Okay.
And
Shasta,
the doggy. Yeah, Shasta. So I'm curious. This is always difficult when we don't have the person online, but Shasta seems a little bit confused right now. I'm wondering. I'm getting the feeling from Shasta that that you're gone quite a bit, more than usual. I don't know if there's things that are taking you away from Shasta more lately, or if your mind or has been preoccupied with other things. But I tried to spend some more just quality time with Shasta. And this is probably much deeper than, you know, just playing and running around. But it feels like you guys haven't communicated for a while. So I'm real curious about something doesn't quite seem right there. Shasta seems really puzzled. So I'm not getting a whole story here. So if you want to drop Annette a line or drop me a line at some point, give us an update, or better yet, you know, call in next month and we'll chat a little bit more. But I definitely spent some more time connecting with Shasta. This is quiet time. Go on and you know, the things that you do to center yourself and to calm yourself and open yourself up to do the communication and the Reiki work, use that in connecting with Shasta. She seems a little seems uncertain right now.
Okay.
So that's Annie and Shasta, but Shasta's beautiful, beautiful girl.
Okay. All right, and the other animal that we have on the page is Pepper. Now, Pepper is that cute little gray poodle that we see. It looks like a miniature poodle. And she was 15 years old when she passed away. And she says she was treated horribly before she came to me. She didn't. The lady that owned Pepper didn't get her until she was 4 years old. So she was treated horribly before she came to me. I'd like to know that she's happy, and I'd like her to know how much I miss her and loved her so much. I would like to know as much information as possible about her, if she was happy with us, etc. She passed away while the vet technicians were giving her oxygen, so I wasn't touching her. I don't know if she could see me or not, and she had a really bad night and morning trying to breathe. I'm devastated by the loss of Pepper, and I miss her with all of my heart. My heart aches for her. I want to know that I will see her again. She was my everything.
Yeah. It's always tough. It's probably one of the toughest things in the world to lose anybody, but lose our pets is, I know from personal experience many, many times, it's one of the toughest things you have to go through. But the key thing is that, you know that she's better. Know that she's well. And she does want you to know that. She's real concerned about you. She is. She knows how much this hurts and knows how painful this is. And she sees the. She keeps using the words blame, which is not an animal word. It's a human word. So if you're blaming yourself for the things, you know, in her past, or you're blaming yourself for not doing things enough for her, or doing it in a timely fashion, or being there with your hands on her when she passed, she wants you to know that to not blame yourself. Don't. Everything's good. Everything's fine. She breathes fine now. So she's very spirited. She did enjoy everything you guys did. Great adventures is the words that came across. Great adventures. So there's a lot of great adventures that you guys must have went on and had. Whether they were trips or just little things that you did together, she definitely appreciates that. As always, she says, there's something to do with a I can't tell if it's a couch or a love seat, or it's a settee, some sort of small piece of furniture. I can't quite tell what it is, but she keeps giving me the words cuddle. So I'm curious if there is a chair or a couch or love. It seems like it's too big for a couch, but something that is love seat type, or maybe a little smaller, oversized couch, a rocking couch, something of, you know, rocking chair of some sort. But in any case, this was the cuddle spot. She's trying to show me that. You guys had a spot. I know you had a lot of love connections, a lot of different things you shared together, and places you shared, but this is one of her favorites. For some reason, she's sharing that with me, which is interesting. So look for that, and look for if there is a key area that you guys used to cuddle up with. Pay close attention to that area. Don't be surprised that you find that the blankets or the throws in that area are crumpled up when you don't expect them to be, that the area feels warm, and you can't quite figure out why it feels warm. These are all things where, you know, she's come back, Pepper's come back to visit and make sure everything's left okay. So she has been back around. So identify that area, because she wants you to know that that's sort of her indicator that she's been back around. And so you can honor her and just feel part of that presence. But the big thing is she wants you to, you know, sort of, you know, to let it go. Know that things are well. She's around. She's always going to be there when you need her. So just ask for her. Just concentrate and think of her and she'll be there. You'll feel her. You'll see her. So just make sure you recognize that. But she's making her appearances around, so she knows. And then all the things, just also one other quick thing was, the past. She had such a tough life in the past. And, Ned, I know you and I have talked about that, you know, how animals, just like humans, have past, presents, and futures.
Mm-hmm.
But our animals, they don't hold on to that past. They learn from that past, and then they focus on what they're here for each and every day, and they work every day to try to fulfill that purpose for being here, and then they transition on. So unlike humans, where we tend to hang on to our past a little too long, and it often disrupts our present and definitely blocks any future that we have. So learn from that and know that the time that she spent with you, that she loved that time, and she was never burdened by that past because it's all part of that learning process.
Okay. All right, good advice. Now, along those same lines, since we don't have any callers waiting to get on, and we've already talked about all the animals on the page, I was just curious if you could take a peek and see if you see any spirit animals around me.
There's this cat that's coming around. And did we mention a cat the last time we checked in? I see this cat. I see this big cat. It said many years. So I'm guessing it's been around many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps popping up. Has the cat from your past popped up in your dreams or your conscious lately?
No, not really.
Okay,
but I was just curious. I've had all kinds of cats before, and I just...
it's a big, great cat.
I know some of them have been around because I can feel them jump on the bed sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think these cats keep popping in. This is a big, big gray cat.
The one that you're picking up right now, what does it look like?
A big gray cat, big gray tabby.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, many years is what I get. So I think he's been around many times, but it's been many years since he was in he was in form.
Yeah,
I
know who that is.
Okay. So the teachings that he left behind or his reasonings for being there, think about those, and that's probably a true indicator why he's trying to wake you up to that. So if there's something going on in your life or teaching he left behind, it's time to take another look at that.
Okay. Now, again, we don't have any callers waiting, so if anybody listening does have a question that you want to ask Tim, if you want Tim to talk to your pet, you can always send your photo of your pet after the show is over to paranormaltalk@yahoo.com, and that's paranormaltalk, all one word, @yahoo.com. So just give it a call if you have a question for Tim. The number is 646-915-8522. Or if you're too shy to do it on the air, you can always check out Tim Link's website, which is www.wagging-tales.com, and it's tales, T-A-L-E-S, and that's, a hyphen, wagging-tales.com. So check that out if you're too shy to do this on the air. And I did have one more thing that I wanted to talk about while we're waiting for people to call in or have questions. Now, the weather is starting to get cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk about colder weather and how we keep our pets safe. Because there's times when they're going to have to be outside.
Absolutely.
Whether we like it or not. So what can we do to keep them safe when the weather starts to get below freezing?
Well, the key thing is, it really depends on what climates that you're in. Obviously, if you're in areas that are prone to having snow and ice, then you got to be cognizant on limiting their exposure outside. Try to make it for short bursts of time. And make sure that you're keeping an eye on them to make sure that they don't get too cold, or more importantly, get their coats wet, and then having some issues there as well. When they come back inside, make sure you're checking all around their extremities. You know, check their paws and between the crevices of their paws to make sure there's no snow or ice buildup. Have a towel nearby so you can blot dry their undercoats and their paws and wipe off their snout. To make sure that there's no excess buildup or there's nothing that they picked up. But even in areas that, like in Texas and in Georgia where I live, where we don't get a whole lot of snow or ice, you still have to be cognizant of it, because if you have an animal especially that's used to warm climates or spends most of its time inside, they can pick up some viruses and some colds by being out when there is a shift in the weather. So just the chill of the air, just like you and I, if we're used to the warmth and all of a sudden we stay a little bit longer than we should in the chill of the air, we'll be susceptible to picking up colds and viruses, and our animals can definitely do the same. So you want to be cognizant of that as well. Make sure all their shots and everything are up to date and they're in good health for the wintertime. And for those out there that have horses, we want to make sure that we do the same thing for them. We're checking in between the hoofs and making sure that there's no ice buildup or any snow buildup, that we're providing proper straw in their sleeping areas. Make sure it stays warm in there and dry. And that's the key thing, warmth, but mostly keeping everything dry is critical for all pets that are going to be spending some time outside. And I always tell people this is October, so you feel just a little bit of coolness in the air. And us humans, this is the time where we start to check our coats and our winter coats and our throw coats to make sure that they're clean and ready to go. We pull out our sweatshirts and wash them up and our sweaters and get them all ready. What's the same thing with our pets? Make sure that all the bedding's ready to go. Make sure that if you have a doghouse outside and the shelter outside, make sure it's all sealed up and ready to go. That way you're not running any problems where you forget to do it or you're sitting out in the middle of the cold trying to fix the top of a barn or a doghouse. Not good for anybody.
Yeah, because that's not too pleasant.
No. So get it all done now, button it all down now, and you won't be sorry.
Okay. All right, we do have another caller on the line. Let me pick that up. All right, the caller from the 407 area code, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? This is Karen from Florida.
Hi, Karen.
I have a dog by the name of Scooter. He's a three-color Pomeranian. And I have changed his foods multiple times, and I can't seem to get it right with his digestive issues.
Is he having vomiting? I see a little bit of vomiting, and I see a lot of loose stool. Do you have a lot of loose stool?
Yeah.
Yep.
I went from chicken, and I buy the holistic food, California Natural, I went from the chicken back to the lamb and rice, and I still can't get a handle on it, and I don't know if it's an emotional thing with him or have no clue. I've never had a dog this sensitive.
welcome to my world.
Oh, really? So you can empathize with me, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I get two schnauzers from the same litter, and one's allergic to fish and potatoes, the other one's allergic to chicken and rice. One can have carrots, the other one can't. It's very, very challenging.
But it does feel
like it's an allergen problem. It does feel like it's a food allergen problem.
Okay.
Very sensitive, and... Yes.
Oh, there he is.
Yes, got it. See, that's confirmation. Confirmation on the right track. So that's good news. Good news. And so there's a couple things to do. If you really want to find out for sure what is going on, then you can take a Scooter to get a blood, an allergen test. They draw a little bit of blood, they send it off to the lab, and they can determine what food and environmental allergens that Scooter's allergic to.
Okay.
And they'll provide you a printout which says, these foods and these environmental conditions he's definitely allergic to, here's some that are borderline, and here's some that are okay.
Okay.
Which will help you narrow down what the what ingredients that you're looking for in your food. So that's one sure way that I would recommend. You know, it's not
okay.
an inexpensive proposition, but in the long run, it would more than pay for itself.
Well, sure. I know the last dog I had was a Palm, too, that lived to be 17 years, and they do live a long life if you take care of them.
That's absolutely right. We had two Pomeranians. As a matter of fact, one was a black Pomeranian that I nicknamed Scooter. So,
oh, really?
Very interesting.
Aww.
But we had a red midsize, and then we had a small petite black one. And yeah, and so and both of ours lived to be, one was 15 and a half, and one was 16. So they
That's pretty old for a dog. I was just concerned that his issues are due to separation anxiety, because every day when I leave from work, he, like, barks at me really hard when I walk out the door, and then, you know, I just don't know if he gets himself so worked up that he...
Yeah. No,
you know?
I do. Yeah, I feel it's a food allergen, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So I think the test is a great way to do it. The
okay.
other thing you can do in the interim is chicken and poultry are a little bit harder for them to process,
okay.
and there are some dogs that are allergic to rice. So we want to, you know, things
is
that are more
the dark rice or the light rice?
Mostly the light rice. So if it's a brown rice that
uh-huh.
that's part of the mixture, then that shouldn't be as big of a deal.
Okay.
You want to try to stay away from, how old is Scooter?
He's three.
He's
turning three in about November 15th.
Okay, good. Then grains, anything with grains in them are going to be a little bit harder to process, so I
okay.
would stay, you know, with more whole proteins, things like, you know, fish and salmon, bison.
You know, I tried to feed him that potato and or the sweet potato and fish.
Uh-huh.
Will not have nothing to do with it.
Okay, then
he just looks
something.
At me like, what?
What is that? Okay.
Yeah.
Have you given him any whole vegetables? Anything like?
Yeah, I give him carrots. I give him apples. I give him bananas. I give him, you know, basically he likes any sweet fruit.
Okay, so
and I do give him quite a bit of, instead of dog treats, I give him carrots for treats.
Perfect, that's perfect. So stay away from the processed stuff.
Yeah.
Giving him whole foods is a great way to go, especially with treats.
Yeah.
I would definitely, let's start weaning, let's go away from the sweetened fruits.
Okay.
Okay, bananas, it's just like you and I, bananas and apples oftentimes will cause loose stool. So it's the same thing with our animals.
That's the issue.
Yeah. If you're going to give him an apple as a treat, you know, get a high-fiber, low-sugar apple like a Fuji apple.
Okay.
Make sure it's peeled. Make sure there's no core,
yeah.
no seeds. And give him a little
don't
bit of that.
Don't feed him a whole one.
No,
oh, no, I don't. I just like set him at peace. Yeah. yeah.
But,
although he would like it, though, I can
would.
Tell you.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the other treats, you know, giving him, the peeled small baby carrots.
Yeah.
That's great. Broccoli crowns are great. And then another thing you can do with his diet is supplement a little bit with his kibble. Do you feed kibble or is it soft food?
It's kibble.
Kibble, that's okay. So with his kibble, supplement a little bit of the kibble with some green beans and squash. And this is green beans and squash. You can get it canned version. It doesn't matter who the manufacturer
okay.
is.
Okay.
Low sodium. Rinse it off. Make sure you're rinsing off any extra preservatives
hey,
or salt in
there.
That's
a good idea.
Yeah. And so if you feed him a cup a day or a cup each meal, we'll say,
yeah.
then let's introduce like a you know quarter cup of the green beans and squash
okay.
and the rest in the kibble. And eventually you can get up to be about half and half.
Uh-huh.
That way, the vegetables will make him feel more full, so you'll get away with feeding him less kibble. There
yeah.
won't be the protein count will go down a little bit, which sometimes can cause some loose stool, and the fiber in it will bulk up his stool a little bit, so he'll probably go more frequently, but it'll be firmer.
Yeah.
So
now we do have another caller on
well,
the line,
you,
and we're
Tim. I really appreciate it. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. Thanks for calling, Karen. All right, now, caller from the 305 area code, you are on the air, finally.
Hi, good evening, Annette. How are you? And how are you? And I've listened to you 3 times, and I always forget your name.
Tim, that's fine. Thanks for calling in.
The Wagging Tails, right?
That's
right.
It. That's me.
And what's your name, sweetheart?
It's Tim.
I'm Deanna, and Annette, you've spoken to me before, especially when you had Michael on once.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting here with my 12-and-a-half-year-old fat dog, and I wonder what I can do to let her eat a lot but not gain so much weight.
Ah, okay. So this ties in well with our last caller. You know, obviously, if you're going to change the diet around, drastically, you would definitely want to check in with your veterinarian and make sure there's no other symptoms that are going on. Make sure that, you know, that your dog's not having any issues with some thyroids, because obviously, if there's a hypothyroid, that would cause them to maintain weight and not be able to burn it off as quickly. So check in with your veterinarian before you make any drastic changes. But small changes, little changes, will do a world of good. So introducing some whole vegetables into the diet or as a treat, things like the baby washed carrots and broccoli crowns, those are excellent. Excellent little treats and excellent little toppers on the food. Sweet potatoes, peeled, you know, sweet potatoes, take the skin off of them, is an excellent supplement, or excuse me, excellent addition to the food. All these things will cause, provide a lot of bulk in the diet, so your dog will feel more full. And it will also add some nutrition into the diet that he's probably not getting, and some fiber. And so the fiber will build a bulk in the stool, so the stool will be more firmer, become more firm, and push it out of the system a little bit more. So I would start adding that. You know, if you're giving any sort of treats, processed treats, then let's try to instead give some of those whole vegetables a try. The carrots, broccoli crowns, sweet potatoes, and then maybe start supplementing a little bit of the food with these vegetables. And most of the time, the animals, they love them. They just, you wouldn't think they would, but they just absolutely love them.
I weaned her on chicken soup, but she always loved the carrots. She didn't like carrots. But the green beans she seemed to like. I haven't given her often enough.
Yeah, green beans are great. Squash is great. So all these are great, whether you're doing them peeled and raw or whether it is, canned, but you're getting low sodium and rinsing them off. Make sure you're getting rid of the excess preservatives and sodium in there. All those can be great things to supplement the diet, and it will definitely help her lose some weight.
Tim, what do you think of tuna fish?
Well, I think tuna itself.
Delicious in a sandwich.
Yeah. Well, I think tuna.
I didn't hear that. What did you say?
Yeah, tuna itself is fine. I would prefer you getting a piece of tuna out of from your grocer and grilling it with no seasoning on it, or poaching it with no seasoning on it, instead of the canned version. The canned version, even if it's processed in water, a lot of times is not as doesn't maintain the omega 3 and 6 oils that a fresh piece of fish will have, and there are preservatives inside of there that are not good for your pet. So, but a piece of a salmon or a piece of tuna from your counter at your grocery store, make sure there's no seasoning on it. Cook that up, and that's excellent, excellent form.
They
okay,
both love salmon.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Deanna. I'm afraid we're running out of time. I got to give Tim a last chance to plug his website and everything.
Thanks,
but
Deanna.
I thank you for calling.
Okay, Annette, thank you very much. Any idea when you're going to have Michael back on?
Michael?
He was a psychic attorney.
Oh, Mark Anthony. Yeah, I'm hoping to have him on next week. I'm hoping
next
to have
week?
Him on next week. I'm hoping. I can't promise, but I'm hoping.
I will be sure to tune in. Thank you both. Thank you, Tim. God
bless you.
God
bless you.
Right. Good night. Okay,
bye-bye.
So last minute, Tim, what's your website and tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So take a look at the website, which is wagging-tails.com. That's wagging-tails.com. There's all kinds of wonderful information in there, helpful hints and tips. You can sign up for your own private consultation where we can go in more in depth with your pets. And obviously sign up for the free e-newsletter. It's a fantastic newsletter full of all kinds of interesting, helpful hints and tips. And you can buy a copy of the latest book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. It's available on my website as well as all retailers across the nation and online retailers. So pick up a copy of Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail.
And I highly recommend it. It's a great book. All right, now next week is my big 3-year anniversary on Blog Talk Radio. So tune in next week, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, October 13th. So thank you so much, Tim, for being on the show. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next week.